Welcome to the Genealogy Happy Hour, a place where new family historians can learn to document their family histories and celebrate their new discoveries. I'm Amy.
And I'm Penny, and we're here to help you discover your family tree from the beginning.
Welcome to episode 40. In this episode, we're going to discuss citations, how to do them, why they're important, and we are going to introduce to you a program that's out there that it will help you with these citations in an incredible way. It'll simplify your life with your citations. And we've got a guest with us, Donna Cox Baker, who is going to explain it all. But first,
the wine.
The wine.
Always the wine first. But I am very excited about this particular podcast. But my favorite wine is always Chardonnay. That's my go-to, is the Chardonnay. So today we're featuring the Josh Sellers Chardonnay Northern Coast. It is a semi-sweet Chardonnay. It's barrel fermented, so it's going to be buttery. It's apple, pear, vanilla, with some citrus crisp, and it's very available, so we're going to grab a bottle and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Amy, it's going to be summer soon, and we'll probably be hitting some rosés again.
We will, some French rosés. That's true.
It's the best.
Nice. But I'm super excited about citations. I mean, I'm actually not super excited about citations.
You are.
I hate citations.
Nerd, yeah.
No. Most genealogists hate citations. And I think it stops some people from writing their genealogy, their histories, their family narratives, because a good, responsible genealogist knows they need to cite their sources. And it can become very cumbersome and very complicated. And I'm writing right now a three-generation lineage, narrative lineage, and a lot of citations, you know? And it just takes a lot of time, a lot of referencing the guidelines, a lot of using Elizabeth Shawn Mills, Evidence Explained. I'm excited to hear about this program. I'm excited to try and use it and see if it's going to help me tremendously.
So. Yeah, I've been playing around with it quite a bit, and you know, we have a research trip coming up.
We do.
So I have been trying to start some research filing and citation work and whatnot in this program, which is called Zotero. And our guest today, Donna Cox Baker, has written a wonderful book called Zotero for Genealogy, which we will talk to her about. It's it kind of walks you through how to use this program, which she used while getting her doctorate in history, doing her thesis work. So she had, as she writes in the beginning of the book, of her book, Zotero for Genealogy, how when she went back to her first love, genealogy, and started working through the research logs and all that kind of stuff, she said it was just really cumbersome, and then she dawned on her, oh my gosh, I could use the same program for my citations and bibliographies and storing documents and making notes. This program was incredible. So she went and used it like that and then wrote a book on how the rest of us can use it for our genealogy.
That's kind of funny, because we compartmentalize these learning tools that we have. Well, I use that in college, but I'm not using it here in this particular vocation. So she's been able to bridge that and then utilize it for genealogy.
And for the everyday genealogist, you don't necessarily have to get the perfect citation down. You just need to be able to find it again, and somebody else who sees your citation needs to be able to find the same thing that you found.
Absolutely, yes.
You make sure you have to have the who made it, who wrote it, what it is, what's the title, when it was written, when it was created, when it was updated.
Where you located it,
mm-hmm. Where it was published, and then the wherein, what page it might be on, if it's in a folder, where's the folder, if it's a person, where do you find this person, you know, that kind of thing.
If it's digitized, which website, and the date that you accessed it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, just get as much information in your citation, where this program will just do it for you. It's so nice. So we're going to be talking to her in just a minute. Was there? And I know you said you're really excited about the citations or this podcast, and you're working on your program or your research.
Correct.
For it.
Yes.
Have you come across any like crazy things that you'd have to write a citation for that?
That's the tricky part is sometimes the citations are very personal because you're actually writing a little, a little proof statement maybe in a footnote rather than putting it. You want to explain some information that you don't want to necessarily put in the dialogue or in the narrative that you've got, but you need to put it down there. So there are some things that footnotes can be very personal and very unique to a situation, where other times we know we have to footnote the birth certificate, the death certificate, the marriage, the probates, all those types of things, the photographs, the cemetery. A lot of the things that genealogists cite are repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. Then those are those unique things. So I'll be interested to see how that those unique situations mm-hmm. are handled in this program. But I'm just excited to find a program that will help me do it.
Yeah.
And then instead of struggling through each particular citation over and over again. So.
Sure. All right. Let's get to it.
All right.
Welcome to the podcast, Donna. We really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about Zotero.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to talk about it. Never get tired of talking about it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So this is a program that helps people with their citations and footnotes and whatnot. And you have found a way to make it work for genealogists.
Yeah. It is actually my research keeper, and it replaces all the things that used to fill up a room, the file cabinets, the file folders, and all of that. The citations, while that was the most critical thing in graduate school and is important in genealogy as well, is this great perk for all the other things it does too. It was really a miracle in graduate school when I was doing footnotes, because quite honestly, I don't do them that often when I'm writing now, because I'm not writing for genealogy publication so much, but it was able to take so much of the pain, the headache, the fear out of citations, because we worry, are we going to have a period in the right place, a comma in the right place, those things we called term papers in high school that, it was all about whether you got that exactly right. And this just sort of removes that and lets you concentrate on what really matters, the research and the writing.
Well, and you mentioned organization, and that's an important part of writing, because you can start writing, you have to collect all of the documents that you're going to be referencing. You have to collect all the notes and the materials. So so how would you begin writing a lineage using Zotero, starting with the organization part, I suppose?
Well, I think that you've got a couple of layers of research that happen. And for me, I start with what I call big R research. I start with general going out there looking to see what there is before I start detail work. The detail work in genealogy often, of course, is who was born when and who was married to whom when and all of those kind of things. So you're collecting all those things, and we're accustomed to collecting those attached to our family tree. But if you're telling your family story, you're going to be going bigger, and you're going to collect a lot of things that that are going to be are going to surround the family. There're going to be things about the town. There's going to be things about their church. There's going to be things that you collect that don't necessarily have a place to sit in your genealogy software, the family tree software. You've got to collect all that, and so that I call that big R research. And so that you're going to find a place for it. And I usually start by just reading materials that are going to be connected to what I'm doing. And I begin by putting them let's say I'm reading about a town, I'll put it in a folder about that town. But later, as I'm actually organizing to write something specific, then I'm going to reorganize based on what my chapters are going to be. And the beautiful thing about Zotero is you're not having to change the original organization, you can actually keep your folders up there that had the information about a particular town, about a particular church, all of those. But then you can drag and drop material into the chapter folders without copying it. I mean, it exists in both places, so that you can organize the same material in multiple different ways without having to repeat it or having to lose the original organization. Does that make sense?
That's very cool. So if you're, yeah. One of the things that I always go to first is try and find those county histories that were published around 1900, exactly. And to just right. Get a flavor of what it was hopefully like. You know, I can find the time period where my ancestor lived. So that would be something that you could store in this particular area.
And yes.
I know
yes.
another it's, thing. I was going to say, sorry. Another thing that you had, you talk about in your book is when you've got PDFs up there of, like, say, a town history, and I think one of the examples was a town history, that you can highlight and annotate, and everything that you do on that PDF highlighted, you save it. You know, if you save it, it's saved in your Zotero.
Right. There is an add-on that will allow you to do that, and that was another godsend in graduate school for me, too, because you're highlighting things, you're adding comments in the PDF. This assumes, by the way, that it's a PDF that can be, you know, that you can actually select text in, that you can search text in. If it's just a PDF that's just pure pictures of the page instead of editable text, then it won't work. But with this, it does. And when you pull it back in with this particular add-on, which there's a chapter about in the book, but when you pull that in, it takes every highlight that you took, it takes every comment that you took, and it types it for you into your notes, so that you don't have to, after you've done that work, then go type it back into notes for it to be meaningful. And the PDF is there and searchable as well. It's fabulous.
I love that feature.
Wow. Yeah.
And I know also when you bring something in, you save you're not really saving the file to Zotero. You're saving the link to your file, because you said Zotero is a free program up to, is it 300?
Yeah, I think it's 300 meg,
yeah.
Which it sounds small. So what I counsel people to do with that, to keep it free as long as they can, is to keep your files, the fat files that have pictures in them and all that, keep them on your drive and link to them instead of pulling them in. Mm-hmm. But you can pull them into Zotero for an incredibly reasonable price. Most scholars, once they're doing this work heavily, are going to pay I think it's $120 a year, something like that, for unlimited space, which you don't get unlimited anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. But I like actually linking to my own drive and having my own cloud backing things up and making them available to me.
Yeah.
So you can do it either way.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And one of your favorite things is the organization, that you can have these little file cabinets kind of thing
side.
And how do you organize your file cabinets?
Well, I'm actually using this for so many things besides genealogy that I have organized mine into business, personal, and family history. So I've got three major folders, but then within family history, I have a structure that I talk about in the book where I have four major categories. I have people, places, tools, and I'm suddenly going blank on what my own fourth thing is. It'll come to me in a minute, but then within people, I put surnames, okay?
Right.
And within surnames, I put a folder for each person mm-hmm. that I have found something specific about. I try to keep it simple like that, rather than getting into any kind of complex numbering system or something. If I have a woman who I need to file and I don't know her maiden name, I'll put her under her husband's family temporarily, with his name and an unknown last name until I can move her to her maiden name. But maiden name is the one thing that really didn't change. You know, everything else could change, but her maiden name doesn't. So I make that usually where I'm going to put a woman.
Right. I do this. I do the same thing too.
Yeah. So what did I say? In places I would have. I am still just doing U.S. research. I've got my life hasn't let me get any further back than that. So, if you're doing international, you might have a folder for each country. But under United States, I'll put a state. Within that, I'll put a county. Within that, I'll put towns. And if I really want to get granular, I might have folders for churches, schools, whatever I might be researching that I would have a lot of material for. I put a folder, but I put them layered inside each other so that I can always find my way back.
So we've gotten away from our citations part of it, which is fine though, because we love organization with genealogy work as well.
Right.
And I'm super excited to implement all these things that you've just talked about in our Connecticut research for my trip up there, so I'll be able to find anything quickly. But as far as the citations go, I know I was looking at something on Ancestry the other day. They had a digitized book. And they had it was Ancient Families of New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven. Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a section in there that had my family, and I was able, because I had followed your advice and followed your directions and downloaded the thing so I could use it with Chrome, and I could just click the little button and add it to Zotero, and it created instantly the citation for that particular book that was on Ancestry, and I was like, this is genius.
Well, that's what sold me on it in the first place, because in graduate school I was afraid of a free product. I thought if it's free it can't be very good, and I don't want to trust my dissertation to something that's free. Mm-hmm. But when somebody told me it would do that, and I realized that the thousands of books I was going to have to cite, that I just pressed a button apiece and it pulled them in for me. Occasionally you have to clean up behind somebody's bad metadata, but mm-hmm. but most of it did the work for me in putting it into the database form. And then later, using another add-on, when you're in Microsoft Word or in your Word document, you can tell it you want it to make a footnote or make a bibliography, and it just pulls it and does it, and it really does take the pain out of it.
It was incredible. I tried that too. Now, I have no plans on writing up my research and doing anything. I know Amy does, so I know she'll love that, to be able to just create that footnote instantly. I did notice when I put that book in and it created the citation, there were some spots where I could add some information if I thought like I needed to put in the exact page numbers, because I had several families in that book, so I needed to do that. So I could add a couple little things in the blanks, and that just filled it in. So it was.
Yes, you could. You could also add that at the stage where you're citing the source in the book, because a lot of my graduate school work, I might have cited 45 different places in one book. So they're in all these different notes. So when I'm actually writing my dissertation, I would get to the place where I was ready to cite the particular statement I just made. And I knew that came from page 45. Then I insert 45 on the go when I'm actually writing, rather than have to, try to pull the 45 out of Zotero.
Gotcha.
So you can do it whatever way is going to work best for you.
So if you needed to know that it was page 45 for that particular notation or whatever, there is a section in Zotero that has notes, and you can just write the note. You can write yourself a note, what's on page 45, or...
Exactly.
So you won't forget.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell it what type of citation you want to use, whether it's MLA or Chicago, or do you have to set that up at the beginning?
Well, you can set it up. You can change along the way. If you're publishing for one publisher who wants it one way and another, then it can move those things around for you.
Sweet.
But so if you need MLA for one publisher, but you need Chicago Manual of Style for another, you just change it at the time you're ready to do your work, and it will alter the footnote.
Yeah.
So Yeah. So, but for me, Chicago Manual of Style is my style of choice because the history field, that's what I got my PhD in. That's what we use in the history field. And so to the extent I can, that's what I want to use. And I usually recommend, for people who don't already have a style of choice, I usually recommend that's where they start.
Right. And that's usually recommended for genealogy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, how do you handle those unique situations? Or do you have to write them on the fly when you have a unique unique citation, or you need to perhaps write a proof statement within a footnote? How does that work with Zotero?
You can add that also. You can add it on the fly. What I would usually do in a case like that, I would write what I wanted to, what I was going to want to include when I got ready to write. I'd either put it in a note attached to my Zotero record, or you could put it in the extra field that is on all Zotero records. So put it in a place where you can easily pull it. But when you get ready to write, when you're creating your footnote in, let's say, Microsoft Word, you let it pull the technical details, and then at the back end of that, after that last period, then you can paste in that extra material you want to add.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it will embed it in there.
Good.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah.
So you wrote this book, Zotero for Genealogy, which is great. And anybody that's listening that wants to get Zotero and try it, I highly recommend Donna's book. Because it's not a huge book, so you don't have. And the best thing about it is Donna's got these little exercises in it. So every time she talks about how to do something, she gives you an exercise so you can do it in Zotero while you're following along in the book.
So it's really hands-on.
Very hands-on.
Hands-on example. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Very hands-on.
Good
and
job,
that
Donna.
Was so helpful
well, thank you.
For me.
Thank you. And I have to credit Linda Balderson, who was my reader as I was going along, and she was coming along behind me and telling me what was working and wasn't working. And she said, I think it would be helpful to do exercises. I'm so glad she suggested it, because that was what spurred the idea of putting sample data. I put sample data out on Zotero's group site so that the minute you join my group, it downloads samples onto your own Zotero records, so that as we're talking about things in the book, you're looking at what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That was particularly useful advice from Linda, and I'm grateful to her.
And the group that you have, is that the place where someone would go if they don't understand how to do something, or they have a thought like, hey, I need to do this, I couldn't figure it out, other people would then jump in and help?
I was going to use it that way when I originally created it, but I found that it was more limited than I wanted it to be. So the group that's on Zotero, it allows us to just to collaborate on that initial sampling of material. But I've created a website called ZoteroForGenealogy.com, and we've got a forum there, and people have been asking each other and helping each other in the most brilliant ways to deal with very specific problems. And they'll say, how are you going to handle the Norwegian records and this and that? And of course, I know nothing about Norwegian records, but another person will pipe in and help. And sorry, I hear my own phone ringing there. I apologize.
That's
but,
okay.
They've been great to each other, and that's only going to get bigger, and the material that's there will always be there for people to check back on. But I've had people teaching me things that they were finding in Zotero that I didn't even know were there. So it's been great, and that's ZoteroForGenealogy.com.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out, because I'm one of those people, like, I can follow it, I've done it, I'm going to implement it, but then if I don't do it for a few days or a week and I come back to it, I'm like, okay, I don't remember how to do any of this stuff again.
Exactly.
I have to go through it again.
Yeah.
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 So, Penny, are we going to have a link on our website?
We will. We will put a link on our website to your
Zotero
book
and Donna's book.
And to your group. So if people can check it out, and I highly encourage anybody who's wanting to be organized. You know, if you've used Evernote or anything like that, this works. I love this layout for.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had started with Evernote and one attempting to use those because I'm a OneNote user. I've been using it for many years in business, but what I was missing was the structure that I wanted for citations. So while those are great for storing data, they weren't as good for storing structured data like citations. And so this gives me both at the same time.
This is wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing it with us. We really appreciate that.
And so, Donna, if they don't come to our website, where can they go out on the web to get your information? Is it just the Zotero for Genealogy?
Yeah, if they go there, they'll get basically a description of the book and then the forums there. And so, yeah, I think that would probably be the best place to start. That will take them also then to my store if they want to buy the book. But I think that's the best place to start. So, ZoteroForGenealogy.com.
Excellent, excellent.
Sure.
Well, again, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
All right.
We will have links to Donna's website and book on our website, www.genealogyhappyhour.com.
And that wraps up episode 40. Cheers!
Thank you for listening. Please email us with any questions or comments at genealogyhappyhour@gmail.com.
Visit our website, www.genealogyhappyhour.com, for additional resources, books, and wines. Don't forget to drink responsibly
and never drink around genealogical documents.